Well, good morning and bless your hearts. Today is Sunday, July 22nd, 2018. We'll start out today, and our study is going to primarily be in Philippians chapters 1 and 2. But we're going to start in chapter 2, verse 1. So if you'll turn there with me. For some Christians, our understanding on being like-minded focuses primarily on anything a given ministry's directions and its practices, and even what the majority of others believe, so directs our actions, attitudes, opinions, and even our beliefs. In the study of Philippians chapter 2, it may surprise you to learn that we are to be like-minded with Jesus Christ. Surprise you in the sense that although we have known, memorized, and even taught these verses for decades, we have possibly made many decisions that are not like-minded with the truth. For instance, in the marriage relationship, where the scriptures tell us, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. The word submit, we had the definition of deliberate decision by proper arrangement. That does not mean that whatever a couple agrees on makes it good to go. Proper would be the key word here, in the sense of a couple deliberating on the arrangement to assure it is like-minded with the Word of God. That part sort of gets lost in the sauce. People remember deliberate decision and proper arrangement. That they remember those words, but they don't remember all the time that it needs to agree with the Word. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Mm-hmm. They had made arrangements that did not work out too well for them. Maybe our work in the scriptures today will greatly simplify God's revealing details on being like-minded by way of Paul's powerful beseeching to the beloved brethren. I say powerful because it involves God's love, and God's love is powerful when manifested. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies. It says if, but there is no question about it, no ifs, ands, or buts. It's in the sense of these things being so. These things being so, there is comfort and encouragement in Christ. There is comfort of agape love in the sense of it being as certain to walk upon as concrete. Fellowship of the Spirit refers to our participation in what we have obtained from the gift of Holy Spirit. Bowels of mercies speaks of tender mercies out of a heart that is full of compassion. If there be therefore, this phrase occurs this one time in the King James Version, and it's used when it's a continuing a narrative or when resuming after a digression, which takes us all the way back to Philippians chapter 1, if you'll turn there, please. Let's take a look at Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, with the overseers and the elders. Paul and Timothy were servants of Jesus Christ. Timothy was an overseer at Ephesus, where the disciples studied and trained for their work to be good ministers of Jesus Christ. They received an excellent knowledge of Jesus Christ and were involved in on-the-job training. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. As I besought thee, this is Paul writing to Timothy, to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some, that they teach no other doctrine. It's to charge some, not all of them, but some, certain ones, that were getting out of bounds. Verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than the administration of God, which is in faith, so do. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, Paul speaks of his pedigree and says he counted it but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of God. That's the first thing we want to get to people, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Neither Paul nor Timothy referred to themselves as leaders or leadership. They were the servants of Jesus Christ. Christ in them did the leading. Only Christ is qualified to be the leader. He is the good shepherd. And God sent him to be the perfect head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness that filleth all in all. You can read throughout the word and see that when God or Christ was doing the leading, things went well. And when people refused God's leadership, things went downhill. You can read about the blind leaders leading the blind and they both fall into the ditch. Or leaders leading the people to error and also ruin. Christ has to be the leader because he is the perfect one, and we are to be like-minded with him. We are beseeched by God to be ambassadors of Christ or in Christ's stead. He is our Savior, Master, and our Lord. We have the mind of Christ. With the mind of Christ, we make his thoughts our thoughts in the sense that we serve our Lord and our Master. And as worded in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. You've matured and developed yourself. Terms like leaders and leadership are used corporately to functionally describe layers of authority within a corporation. I get it. It's not my intent to throw shade on words used to distinguish levels in positions. However, it is my intent and desire to view all of God's beloved ones as good ministers of Jesus Christ and ambassadors for Christ. Over the past 17 years, I have sadly seen wonderful men and women sacrifice their service, trying to find their place in the body of Christ, searching to find what God wants me to do. My desire for all believers is that we would have the same expectation as Paul, that God would work in you until the day of Christ. We'll read through Philippians chapter 1 a little later. Take special note of Paul's view of the believers. That's what I want to set for us. Let's consider this familiar verse and look at the key words which you may not realize. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. The phrase, we are ambassadors, is actually the word presbuo. It means to be the eldest. To be an ambassador for Christ involves the experience suggested by the word elder. The elders were to be ambassadors. As ambassadors for Christ, we are to be mature and act as representatives of God's nature of love and light in the stead of Christ. Jesus Christ did a great job of describing God to the end that they knew God loved them and believed God loved them and lived and moved that way. Knowing of this transformative truth will not do much for our position in the body of Christ. We need to operate our ambassadorship, and the Holy Spirit will direct the specific work. There is no menu, so to speak, or want ads where we can read about available openings and then pick what we think God would have us to do. Be an ambassador in Christ's stead. That is where we all belong. That's what God wants you to do. Be a good minister of Jesus Christ. You have a full-time ministry that pulsates with every breath you take, and it has an unbeatable benefit package. Rejoice in it. A good minister, the Greek transliteration is diakonos, is one who executes the commands of a master. He is a servant. Every minister is responsible for his or her, allowing the gift of Holy Spirit to function according to the virtues of the master. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He should also be our Lord and our master. We are his servants. As good ministers of Jesus Christ, we would want to see people as Paul viewed believing ones, as good ministers of Jesus Christ. Paul held to the scriptures that God would continue to perform in them the good work in each believer that he had begun, and he would continue until the day of Christ. And Paul expected that. Paul believed what God said he was going to do, and Paul expected that. And so that's how he looked at believers and treated believers. And when you remember, Jesus Christ never treated anyone as a willful sinner. As good ministers of Jesus Christ, we would want to see people as Paul viewed believing ones, as good ministers of Jesus Christ. Paul held to the scripture that God would continue to perform the good work in each believer as he had begun. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." Charity is the word agape. Even with the earnest efforts of tender-hearted, words fall short to ascribe the spiritual virtues of God's love for us. And we have the same nature as God. We have his nature. Agape is the core of who God is. Love is not just something that God does. Love is what he is. God is love, and love loves. Agape is the crux of his commandment, the crux of his committed nature, and we have that nature, as Peter tells us. God is unchanging. He is yea and amen forever. Therefore, his love is unchanging. His love is not fickle. One minister said that God's love forever floats serenely and undisturbed above the restless sea of life, and that's the love that is in us. It is the highest form of love. It's in a league of its own. It's measureless, fathomless, endless, and boundless. God's love is pure. Every aspect of it is love. His love contains nothing else. It is only love. It contains no trace of anything that is contrary to love. There is no admixture. It has no emotion or feeling to sway its steadfastness. God does not get up one morning and say, "Well, it was a great day yesterday and I feel good." And by the afternoon say, "Geez, looks like we're going to hell in a handbasket." And start treating people as if that was the truth. Agape exercises sacrificial giving. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he's never changed his mind on that. It is a joyful resolve to put the welfare of others above one's own. Jesus Christ did that all the time. It's selfless, it's unconditional love, and infinite in compassion, free from desire and expectation. It expects nothing in return. It loves regardless of flaws and shortcomings. It accepts and forgives. So when we attempt to discuss the love of God, we are into a subject that is so vast and immense. Our teachings have put God's love in the forefront since 2001, and we continue to do so. And there's, because there's still plenty to say. Paul prayed that we might know by experience the four-dimensional love of God. God, by way of his gift within us, will reveal it to us. We can know it experientially, but to actually sit down and describe it, that's another thing. It is agape love that never fails. It will never fail in two senses of the word. Agape love will never end. God is love. God has no beginning and he has no end. And two, agape love will never fail, as in it will always work. Love loves. That is why eternal life, our eternal life, is secure. His love does not end, nor does it change. Agape is God's eternal commitment to mankind. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In 1 Timothy 1:5, it says the end, actually means not the end result, the final thing. It means you're just arriving at the starting line. I said that agape love is the beginning point. Agape love is not the goal where you hope to end up someday. It's the beginning, and it's to be carried all the way through to the end. And when Timothy taught the ministers, they were not effectual ministers until they arrived at the starting point, which is the end of the commandment regarding agape love. The commandment is, love thy neighbor as thyself. I give you a new kind of love, that you love one, a new commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. All the way through. As we read Philippians chapter 1, observe and learn from the incredible agape love Paul and Timothy had committed to their hearts regarding the believing ones. Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. He was joyful to make the request. He was joyful to pray for the beloved ones. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day, even until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you. The word meet is said of God. It designates the perfect agreement between his nature and his acts, in which he sets the standard for all men. We are partakers of his nature, so our acts should be correspondent with that and fitting with the word of God. Because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. That was the truth, because God took the time to have it recorded. He really felt that way about the believers. He had a deep love for all the believers that was so deep, and he constantly thought about the believers in light of that. He was like-minded with Jesus Christ on this. That's exactly the way Jesus handled his disciples and those that believed on him and walked with him. Philippians 1:9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, the excellent knowledge of Jesus Christ. That you may be sincere and without offense, how long?
Till
the day of Christ, all the way through. All the way through. You're at the starting line, but as you start to run, all the way through. Keep it up. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. The phrase "have fallen out" means it turned out for the advancement. And the word "rather" means the gospel is so far from suffering any loss or disadvantage from my imprisonment. Actually, the number of disciples has increased in number because of it. The furtherance means the progress, the profit. The same word "profit" as in 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. And it did. It radiated. So that, in so much, my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. It was well known that his physical bonds was due to his spiritual bonds to serve the gospel of Christ, rather than for anything evil he did. Palace refers to within the camp of the Praetorian soldiers, or with SEAL Team 6. Not just a big building. Much like Joseph's witness. Remember Joseph? Even when he was in jail, the jailer regarded what Joseph had to say. And people looked to Joseph. He was a shining light throughout all his tribulations. All the different things that happened to him, he remained as a shining light. Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. It didn't deter them. It didn't scare them off. It made them more bold to keep speaking the word. Seeing Paul's witness in bonds caused the brethren to increase in their trust and confidence to a greater degree. They became more courageous. There was no dread. They had no fear to preach the word of God and the doctrine of salvation. The brethren were inspired by Paul's personal victory in the face of adversity, believed what he preached. He lived his convictions. Even in tribulation, he remained faithful to his convictions in Christ, what the scriptures had to say. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Envy is the feeling of displeasure produced by witnessing or hearing of the advantage or prosperity of others. We're not jealous of other ministries. Can't be, if we're going to follow Jesus Christ. Because remember when the disciples said, "We heard someone preaching in your name, should we stop him?" And Jesus said, "No, let him go. He who's not against us is with us." And like I've shared numbers of times, even if every minister, every priest, every reverend shared the things that we're sharing about being like-minded with Christ, that we still don't have enough for all of the needs of mankind across the world. They're so deep and so vast. We need more ministers of Jesus Christ. We have no reason to envy or be jealous. We have every reason to be encouraging and pray for him that it keeps going. The spirit which God made to dwell in us was certainly not bestowed that we should be guilty of envy. There should be no envy among good ministers and ambassadors for Christ. The one preached Christ the contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, because people get born again by confessing Jesus as their Lord and believing in their hearts God raised him from the dead. They have eternal life. For I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Well, that supply is not going to run out. Neither should our prayers. Our prayers for their success, our prayers for their victory, our prayers to remain like-minded and walk powerfully and boldly and confidently. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, because there are rewards in the future, crowns for people we have won to the Lord Jesus Christ and people we have helped to minister to other people. But that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. On verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. That's a good minister right there. Verse 27, only let your conversation, your manner of life, the way you conduct yourself, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospels. Remember when Peter went back to report to the apostles after he had been to the household of Cornelius, he said that they received the selfsame spirit that we did at the beginning. It's the exact same thing. That there's no difference between us and them. They have the exact same spirit as we have. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Same for these other ministers that speak the same things. Be like-minded. So now we go back and resume Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, well, we have full sharing of the Spirit. It's the exact same. It's the exact same that Paul had. It's the exact same that Peter and the other apostles had. It's the exact same that the first century church believers had and walked with dynamic and power. Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind, the mind of Christ. We should have the same mind and have the same love that Christ had, be like-minded, and be of one accord, the one accord Christ had with his disciples, and the one accord the first century church had, and the one accord that Paul in his ministry had. And one mind, because they all had the mind of Christ and paid attention to that and endeavored to be like-minded with Christ. Be like-minded with who? Well, Christ, of course. Having the same love as who? Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Ephesians 5 says, be imitators of God as dear children. That's exactly what Christ did in introducing God to mankind. Being of one accord with who? And of one mind with who? Right. Like-minded means to think, regard, be of the same mind, be like, to agree together, to cherish the same views, the same values, to be harmonious, to be of one accord, fellow-souled or equal-souled, the context being according to the virtues of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Who are the others? The other believers, the other ministries that are bringing forth the same message. Who always sought that God would be glorified. Jesus was the greatest example of lowliness of mind, humility and meekness, as Ephesians 4:2 says. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Look, not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of other. It's not self-serving, but that God is the one that gets glorified. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, or these thoughts be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There is the like-mindedness I'm talking about. You let these thoughts, let this mind, thoughts, to think or have an opinion of oneself that does not exceed the bounds, be in harmony with the subject, Christ. These are wonderful contemplation points. Why wouldn't I do these things, especially if I am praying every day for God to show me what I am to do, the specific instructions I need to carry out? And he will show us. He'll give us details. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Christ should have been born in a royal castle with every king in attendance right there in Jerusalem, not in lowly Bethlehem, and not raised in Nazareth, a city of no esteem in all of Israel. He didn't force men to attend to him, nor did he have the Shekinah glory radiating around his head like a halo. He wasn't even like Moses. Remember when Moses came down from the mount, the children of Israel couldn't even look at him. They had to. He had to cover his face. He was so glorious. He made himself of no reputation means he emptied himself of what? All the rights and privilege of protocols that a king should have, that should have been bestowed upon him as the Son of God and as the Savior of the world. He stepped down in several ways. One, he never worried about his position. Two, he came as a servant, as set forth in John 13:13, Mark 10:45, Matthew 20:28, and Mark 20:25. In Isaiah, he's called the root out of Jesse, not out of David, because he laid down his right as the king. 4, he humbled himself. No one took them from him. He laid it down for us that we might have him as our example to walk in his steps, to be like-minded with Christ. It's not some egotistical thing we're involved in. It is humble. It is humble because we make ourselves humble and we desire to see God get the praise. Now the God of patience, Romans 15:5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ. If we do that, we'll be esteemed by each other. You know, it says, because, you know, it's not that anybody's better than us, but we offer them the benefit of being the elders, and we keep ourselves like-minded in that with our love for the brethren. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. We'll maintain that peace among ourselves because we don't have jealousy. We don't have envy of each other. We want to see God be glorified. We want to see Christ be glorified. We want to see the name of God elevated. We want to see people turn toward God with great love. So you can see that being like-minded as ambassadors in Christ's stead, being a good minister of Jesus Christ, is a full-time Christian endeavor. There's a lot here I trust you will enjoy considering and meditating upon these things, that your profiting, like Paul's, may appear to all, so that the other believers get the benefit. Father, thank you for this great day. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your wisdom and your counsel to us. Thank you for the wonderful examples that we have. And I thank you that we may be examples to the other believers of your abounding love, your wonderful love and grace and goodness in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.